Blog Talk Radio.
Tell her you're moving to L.A.? Boom. We really are on?
You're on.
Hello. I'm moving on, Navis.
Who is that again?
Why don't you talk into the mic, Len?
It'll be the Matthew Aaron Show.
Okay. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. www.thematthewaronshow.com.
No one cares.
At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter.
As if anyone
they
knows.
Really don't care.
They Matthew don't Aaron on Facebook. The Matthew Aaron Show, also on Facebook. Go ahead, Pat.
Well,
I know you got a plug.
Call in and please say you don't care.
Well, yeah, that may happen, so don't do that. But go ahead. You got a plug?
Mr. Beef and Pizza. Mr. Beef and Pizza in North Harlem.
Yeah, you forgot the name of your own place?
No, I'm eating pizza right now. I got it on my
Where are you eating pizza from, Mr. Beef and Pizza?
Mr. Beef.
Lou Malnati's.
But the Lou Malnati's, like Mike Turzo said, is missing something. I think it's missing salt.
No, it's the Pecorino Romano.
It's the Pecorino Romano.
That's what it is.
The sheep's milk.
Yeah, Pecorino.
Yeah, leave it to Emerald and his helper over
here. Yeah, Emerald and Batali over
here. But we did get the double butter crust, which I don't hear anyone complaining
Great
about.
Move,
I'm not complaining about anything at all,
Lenny,
including
can you reach
salt.
In that trash can over there and pull me something out?
Did you drop something in the trash can, Pat?
One of your dogs did.
These disgusting fucking people.
All I see is skid marks.
So,
I will cut you with this fucking butter knife.
So,
do you have news stories to read, man?
Don't hurt me over
Wait,
there.
Not
you
anymore.
All right, I'll tell my story.
I think we need to start off first with whatchamacallit.
No?
I
kind of like that one.
Matt, I think we should start off with a little administrative task, Pat.
You didn't like that one. You like the other one?
Pat has an administrative task.
I do. You know, something was brought to my attention.
Matt, you may want to chime in on this.
Sorry.
This is an administrative Matthew
board meeting for my. I love how my life has a board meeting. Okay, great. I have a board of directors for my life. Go ahead.
It's still fucked up.
We're going. Well, as Alex said, I guess we're going to war against the Greeks. I don't take it to that extent. I love Greeks. Beautiful girls, by the way.
Beautiful. Little hairy.
Little hairy, but they are cute. And
okay.
They're very
Continue.
Good at what they do. But it was brought to my attention that, you know, Lee was talking about me on the air now. And, Matt, I would love for you to update me on the situation in which what he said.
More or less.
And don't act like you don't know, because I know you know.
More or less.
You are the gossip queen. All right, print it. Come on, be the printing press you are. Print the shit. Let's go.
If I really wanted to gossip, I would have prepared the clip and played it for you.
Well,
but more or less.
I'd rather hear it from you, considering, you know, I trust you, so.
You go wash your hands.
More or less, Lee says that you blow things out of proportion. You're stirring the pot. You stirred the pot between him and Alex.
That pot was already stirred. He came to me about it.
Uh-huh.
The pot was pre-stirred.
Hmm?
The ingredients were in the pot. We'll put it that way.
Louise came to me about it before I came down and sat on the show, and I was just calling to get from you what happened.
Well,
why you didn't stick up for him, which you didn't. Did you stick up for me this time at least or no?
I always stick up
for you.
Did
you throw me underneath the bus?
It's Pat night.
My arm does hurt like shit, so I ran over?
So you're saying when I designate something Pat night, that's not sticking up for you? Pat night.
This is Pat night. Listening on Wednesdays
for Lee's not allowed here on Pat night. Why don't you explain why Lee's not allowed here on Pat night?
Because Lee had stuff to say about me, and I really don't care to see him.
But even before this,
Pat,
there was Pat night.
Because when we were sitting here in the basement, he was sitting there yelling at me and Alex for talking. You couldn't hear us. No one can hear us.
That dog shit in the
Listen,
fucking garbage can.
If it's that much of a problem.
He wipes diarrhea off his stairs and puts it in the garbage can down by where we're fucking eating.
I'm going to throw it the fuck out.
Fucking pig.
No.
The fucking disgusting.
Now, you were here that one night.
I'm in the middle of a show. I don't have time to go run dog shit out to the fucking wherever.
He's interviewing me.
Well, Pat. I think you need to make a motion.
Motion.
You need, as chair of this meeting, I think you need to make a motion.
Yes, because as all our listeners and everyone listening out in L.A. will soon learn, my life is not ran by me.
No,
it is ran by a board of directors.
But my thing is, before we get into the administrative things,
the chairman asked a good speaker from the northwest side of the city of Chicago to either cease debate or make a motion.
Well, my motion is...
Cease debate or make a motion.
With all the information that I have at hand...
Make a motion.
Can I fucking finish?
Mr. DiStefano.
Can I finish?
Will the gentleman from the northwest side of the city of Chicago make a motion?
Handle it,
Drew. Here we go.
Will you make a motion?
Make a motion.
Make the motion.
My motion is Lee's got to go if he's going to talk about everyone at this table.
So we have a motion on the table. We have a motion that has been seconded for the termination of Lee Capreas from the show. Will there be further debate on the motion?
Who seconded the motion?
Steve Weirich.
Lenny's hand.
That was a Smokey Robinson joke.
Lenny's hand went up. Turzo's hand went up.
Luigi
stood up to do it.
Before I take a vote, Lee will have to voice his opinion at the next show, and then we could do an actual
tomorrow.
Vote.
But you know
tomorrow,
what?
Lee will have his
But
say.
To get back to it, you know, no one did anything wrong to him either.
The chairman is no longer recognizing the gentleman from the northwest side of the city of Chicago.
So, Pat, you are saying what exactly? Sum it up in Donald Trump words.
You're fired.
You're okay. Okay, you are fired.
You're not fired.
Wait, you want bad blood at the table? Then leave him. What do you want me to tell you?
I don't want bad blood.
The motion has been tabled pending further debate.
He has said something about Alex and myself. And you never said anything
you
about it.
So
you never did anything
you
about
drink
it.
That pop, you know.
I know.
How do
You're
I look
disgusting.
Fat when I drink a pop?
So, yeah. It's like you hold the whole, like your midget hands can't fucking get around the can of pop.
So.
Post that shit.
Why
on
didn't
Facebook.
You stick up for us?
Thursday.
I always stick up for you.
Bullshit.
No, it's not true. Steve and Alex can both chime in if they would like. I stuck up for you on Thursday. I said Pat has his shows. And Pat was just upset that you told Alex to shut the fuck up.
I was, because Alex is a friend of mine.
You don't tell people, you know, on a show. You don't tell people that work on the show.
How many times have we down here? I didn't want to come back to the show. If Mike didn't beg me to come back here, I wouldn't have came back.
What else would you be doing on Wednesday night, pal?
Sitting at home watching TV.
Pounding the fucking sausage.
Wait, we're sitting at the corner of your basement.
We have Lee and Pat nights designated because of you two. So something's got to get solved. Someone's either gone,
so Lee will have,
and obviously,
tomorrow.
Obviously, I can't get rid of Pat ever. So someone's gone, or
you get rid of me, I turn your show into a roller rink. I'm not going to lie to you; it'll be like the circus on wheels. It's over, buddy.
And you do have a vote because you are
now,
on the Matthew Warren board of directors.
Now, in interest of moving things along before our guest comes on, the Pat situation is done. Now, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Mike Terzo for his story.
Oh, before producer,
wait,
executive producer,
I'm not
of,
done yet.
I'll have a
I'm
motion to close
yet.
The meeting.
Wait,
I'll have a motion to close the meeting.
No.
Steve makes the motion.
No.
Is there a second, Alex? As this
I'm not
meeting
done
is
yet.
Adjourned.
One more thing.
Let him say his one last
one
thing.
One more thing.
You are out of order, sir. You are out of order.
You are out of order.
You will yield. You will yield.
Someone get this kid a piece of pizza.
Go ahead, Pat.
You know what? And it's not just he badmouthed Alex or myself or Matt or Lenny on any occasion, which he probably has. I don't know about Matt. I know he's badmouthed
Lee,
Lenny.
Did you badmouth me?
But he also badmouthed our producer, Cesar Marconi. You can't badmouth the producer of your show.
What did you do to producer Cesar?
He badmouthed Cesar, too.
What did you say?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Pat, the shit you say about Cesar?
Yeah, all good things about him. Kiss my ass. But, you know, he badmouthed him, too. And Cesar went to bat for this kid.
Pace bus is going to
get
big.
4 weeks ago, right or wrong?
Everyone's just getting tossed in front
Wait,
of
it's not getting tossed underneath the bus. Cesar went to bat for him 4 weeks ago, and he cut Cesar up, too. So who's saying he's not saying it about you? That's all I'm saying. And if you don't think so, you're smoking a joint upstairs.
All right, now I think
right.
Terzo has a story.
Well, we've had our debate there with Pat and Lee.
Well, I want your answer.
Administrative portion
this
of the Matthew Aaron show.
I don't get
it.
I got to
Lee
Caprano. I have to give Lee a chance to respond tomorrow. I have
Sergeant at Arms, please kill the mic of the gentleman from the Northwest Side.
I have to give Pat a chance to. I mean, I have to give Lee a chance to respond tomorrow.
Yeah,
he needs to give his side. We need to have testimonial.
Why?
It's only fair.
Is the mic killed still?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's on. Full blast.
So you're saying, though, let's sum this up. Lee is fired.
I make a motion, yeah.
I'm getting on tonight.
With collaboration. Oh, I'll be getting off in a minute. With, and Mike Terzo got in a fight with Lee last night, too.
Did
another
you?
Guy at the table.
Wait, did you?
Did I get into a fight with
Lee? Yeah, he just got into a fight with Lee, too.
Testimonial.
He just got into a fight with Lito.
Go ahead. Lenny's giving you his seat for a few seconds here. And
wait,
we want to hear your story,
I
want
to know
too.
One thing before we have Mike talk.
Yeah.
Is this the Matthew Aaron show? Because you don't make a goddamn decision.
No, you guys make all my decisions. Wouldn't you rather have it that way?
Well, we are on the board of directors, and you're not.
All right.
Mike, look at what he said about you. Put Mike on the air.
Mikey, you're on. What was this argument with you and Lee yesterday?
Don't sugarcoat it either, Washington.
There's no sugarcoating. Well,
are you going to be political?
No, there's no politically correct about nothing. There wasn't much of an argument.
So what was it?
Well, you tell me what it was.
Hey, Charles!
Oh! Mr. Salvatore!
Are you gaining weight again, or did you buy smaller shirts?
No, I actually have to say,
okay.
Mr. Chuck Salvatore just got into the studio here, and I got to say, he looks fairly fantastic.
Okay, Mikey,
that's good,
Carzo.
But don't change the subject.
Yeah,
changing
Mike. The subject.
There's no changing the subject. There's don't no fucking it. Fight with Lee.
You just said you did.
I said I had. It was a little sahan.
Hey, well, why don't you tell us what the saw and the
put,
ha
was? Put Alex on the mic. Alex, I know you got something to say about this. Put Alex on the mic.
Oh no, Alex is afraid of Lee.
I'm not afraid of Lee.
He's unstable, you said.
He's a nice guy, but he starts to talk about everybody now.
I pray to God that Lee's listening.
He may be listening.
He's going to want to listen tomorrow.
Hear that or he's chopping meat.
And him, hey, like I said, I'm not cutting him up, not saying he's bad, but he's got bad blood with everyone at the table, and
okay.
That's not good for business.
Mikey,
man.
What's your story? Oh, and you never shared your Lee story, but
I didn't. I
understand. What was your little sahan?
There was no sahan.
What was it?
Well, I don't think I was going to say that. I did notice yesterday is every time I moved, he got scared like a bunny rabbit.
You wanted to talk
like
on
I
the
was
show.
Like I was going to get on the show, and he didn't wait to go to the bathroom until like the last 10 minutes of the show.
Okay,
I think he was holding it.
All right, so what's your story, Mikey?
Anyway,
I know you
have
an MRI
okay,
today.
So okay, guys.
This is a Mikey back update.
As you guys know about the whole back, the never-ending saga that is my lower back, okay? You guys get this. So I scheduled.
I like to call it the 400-pound white elephant in the room.
Pretty much.
Continue.
So I go to get
my... Did Lee just walk in or something?
Jesus fucking Christ, Pat.
I think Lee's right.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, just time out. Relax. All right. All
motion
right,
to the fire
relax.
Lining at the table.
Oh, boy.
No motion. You're
you
not going to get
gonna
a second
hear
on
this.
That. You're not going to get right. a second.
Okay.
Mikey,
shut the fuck up.
Tell your little story. All go right. ahead.
So I go to get my MRI today, okay?
Fuck up.
I put my big boy pants on, okay?
You have little boy pants?
Well, I call them my big boy pants. They're shorts.
You want a pair of
I put my big boy pants on.
Wait, you have shorts?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen you in these. Are these the shorts with the holes in them that you can see a testicle
no,
hanging
these,
in?
These are gym shorts. They're less revealing.
Sometimes you see this little bouncing ball between
hey,
his
thighs. Hey, now. Last time you told me you thought it was cute.
Continue. I like the chimes, the wind chimes between your legs. Continue.
So I get to the MRI office, and they're like, okay, Mr. Terzo, I need you to fill out this paperwork. Okay, we'll fill out the paperwork. So I'm sitting down. I fill out all the paperwork, and I notice they have like a double-wide chair in the waiting room. It's wonderful. It's
not a double-wide.
Well, I call it a double-wide.
Call it trailer,
my
friend.
If the airline had chairs like that, I'd be very happy. So lady comes out. She said, Mr. Terzo, we're ready for you. So I go back. I'm waiting to get in a gown and show this girl what I'm working with. And... Because, you know, once in a while, you just got to give it out. So,
what are you looking at, like 12 inches
so she
of lipstick
gets there,
or what?
She gets me back. She's had me take all your gold off. And, you know, so I'm taking all my gold off and put it in the thing. And I'm getting ready to get undressed. So I start unzipping my pants. I take my shirt off. And she goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
I'm eating.
And she goes, no. It says here that you weigh 350 pounds. And I go, yeah, approximately. She's like, well, is it 350 pounds or more than 350 pounds? I'm like... I'm like, what the fuck does it matter? I've been here two times already getting an MRI. Well, sir, we're going to have to put you on a scale. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I go over to the scale, and she puts it at 350. I step on, bing, right at the top. So I look, I go, well, apparently I'm a touch over 350. And, So I look at her, she just gets this look on her face, and she goes, I'll be right back.
Mike, 100 pounds isn't a touch, my friend.
And I'm like, fuck, right? She comes back with her manager, and she's like, Mr. Terzo, this is Diane, and Diane's the head of the facility here. And they get over, and they're like, all right, Mr. Terzo, well, you've exceeded the weight limit of our MRI machine. And I'm like... I said, well, you know, I've been here before. I mean, I know I need a little Crisco to get in the donut hole, but it works. Well, our motors on our table will break if you get on our table for an MRI. I'm like, you got to be fucking shitting me. I go, well, look, I've had two MRIs here. I've had like 15 in my life. And she goes, well, you need to go what's considered an open MRI.
And I'm like, what's that?
To
the zoo or what?
Well, it's like, so she apparently... She apparently knows.
They took him to Brookfield Zoo. Brought him to the Elephant Brigade.
Right, exactly. Long story short,
they have a conveyor belt
she tells
those
me,
things on
I call it a donut hole. It looks like a donut. And she says I got to go to one that looks like two pancakes floating over each other. At any event, so I have a little altercation with her. Not real bad, but I'm like, look, I set this up a week ago. You couldn't have told me when I said I was 350 on the phone that just maybe that might be an issue. Of course, no, never. Wait till like my fat ass walks in the goddamn door. So anyway, so she gets this. She goes, well, I feel really bad. It's our fault. And I go, okay. And she's like, hold on a second. She disappears. She comes back. She's like, here, take this. I feel bad for
I
her.
Hope they bought you
it's,
a sandwich
hold on,
for your
hold
time.
On, get this. She gives me a $30 gift certificate to Subway.
You gonna lose I'm some serious. Weight at Subway?
I have it right here in my wallet.
What the hell are you?
I got Subway today with it.
They want you to be a little fatter, so you
here
do I have to the open.
Here I go. So anyway, I look back at her. So I look back at her. I go, oh, Diane, I appreciate it. I go, I guess you're right. I do need to lose a little weight. And she just goes ghost in the face. And I'm like,
so does she know what you eat at Subway?
I'll start with the 6-inch.
No, two foot longs. What was your last Subway order when I went with you?
It was a lot of food.
Yeah, it was 2 foot longs with triple cheese.
It was about 24 inches of ecstasy.
And 2 bags of chips and a large drink.
Well, that's what she said, but I had to give it to her like 12 times.
And he did
there.
Go. He did get the large diet after that whole meal.
Yeah, I did get
the you got the diet. You got to even it out, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know. All those empty calories.
Lenny's jealous he didn't get the Subway card.
You actually have a lot of them.
Are you like putting your Are you putting your hand in that?
Yeah.
Oh!
So gross.
He put his hand in the diarrhea bin.
She has about a heart attack when I say this to her. And I go, no, really, it's okay. So I'm walking out, and the lady goes, did everything go okay? I go, I didn't get my MRI. All I got was a $30 gift card to Subway. And the lady at the front desk goes, oh, what happened? I go, oh, I'm too fat. Apparently they need to think I need to get on the Jared program. And she just goes, oh, my God, did they actually say that to you? I'm like, no, sweetheart, calm down. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, don't worry about a lawsuit.
No, they didn't charge me for a visit.
Did you get charged?
No. No, I just need to go back to the blood place. You know what I should have done? I should have told them I was 325.
Hey, Mike, you know what? Go to the zoo by the boat over there. Then you just come afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Boat.
Stop by the Lincoln Park Zoo.
You go there. They got
an MRI.
There, whatever the hell you MRI.
I will
machine.
Sink your boat.
That sounded really dirty.
So I'm surprised your boat didn't sink after he took that dump in your boat.
Well,
yeah,
I haven't taken any dumps in Pat's boat.
Yeah, but you did clog the damn porta potty.
Oh, and by the way, I should talk, Len Cannata. When you jump on and off that boat when you're drunk, the thing shakes for like 5 minutes.
Well,
wait, hey, I was sitting down on the pier a couple of weeks ago waiting for these two to come down, Mike and Lenny. So I'm sitting all the way down on the other end of the pier. You know where the boat is. All
and he starts seeing the water vibrating his cup.
Seeing the water vibrating. I felt the goddamn pier moving. It's like two elephants are coming down. I swear to God, I thought I was on the beach of Normandy. I thought I was getting shot. What was that? I look up. I said, holy shit.
It was these
shit.
Two water buffaloes
wait,
coming down docky.
They're quiet like ninjas, but, man, it's like an earthquake when they come in.
Hey, well,
quiet fine. Like ninjas. Yeah.
So anyway, that's the next update, folks. Thank you. And
you know what? I can't wait till you guys come out to L.A. for New Year's because I seriously hope they're not doing the statewide obesity, you know, the research that weekend because we'll make them go up like 2%.
I'll knock them up. Absolutely.
An easy 2%.
Well, we might put them in contending with Illinois.
I just can't wait. I just can't wait until all these people in L.A. see the four of us driving around town.
Well, you know what we have to do before L.A.?
What's
we
got
to clean off some dead weight, and we should take a vote now. On the air.
All right, enough.
On the air. Let's take a vote. We'll call in with the producer, Caesar. Get him on the horn, and we're going to call in the vote right now.
All right.
He's
all
not
right.
on the horn.
Relax.
I will get him on the horn. Call him up.
I don't get
all
him
right.
on the
get
horn.
Let's do this right now. On the air, so everyone can see it.
Thurzo.
I'm getting verklempt over here.
Thurzo, are you a little verklempt?
I'm a little verklempt.
I'm sorry to interrupt your story.
Now, here's a question for you, Matt.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Matt, you've been to L.A. Okay?
Chuck is on Team Lee.
All the way. All right, I love Chucky still, but...
I don't even know what the
Chuck,
talk about stirring the pot.
Yeah.
Take a walk.
So,
anyway.
You've been to L.A., and you know the whole thing out
right.
there.
Can we take
now,
a vote
I
no?
have gotten to a point in my life here in Chicago. When I go to restaurants, I get hugged, kissed, and thrown in the back table so I don't scare anybody away.
Yeah.
All right. So I understand that. How long do we have in L.A. before they probably stop turning us away at the front of the...
I think
yeah.
the tables are small.
No, they'll be very excited to see us.
I mean, because one of my... That's my tagline. Check averages are going
Aide
up.
Aide and I went to a very nice Italian restaurant in Brentwood. Okay. Dustin Hoffman goes there. Everyone goes there.
They don't have Italian out there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's
no.
very small. If we went there, I don't know if we'd be able to eat there.
Well,
they pull out one of those big folding tables.
I was elbow to elbow with some stranger. It's that small.
Well, we won't be elbow
to elbow.
But
it's a great restaurant.
You know,
you're going
to
have to reinforce the elevators.
The food they have out there, I do have a question for you. What's the food culture like? I mean, the restaurants. I mean, if you go to an Italian restaurant there, is it different than it is out here?
What do you like other than steak and beef?
I love fish.
Then you're great.
I mean, I know I'm great. The seafood out there has got to be second to none because of the ocean.
Here's the deal. Italian, yeah, if you don't like steak, or I'm talking like, yeah, all right, if you don't like cow, you're good out there. Put it that way.
They do got
They're
beef,
all freaking vegans
as,
out there, man.
It's not as good as here.
Actually,
it's
California
not as good as here.
California has some of the best beef in the country.
That's nice. I can't find a good
steak
out there.
There are open ranges in Northern California where they do a lot of the cheese.
Northern California.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt you
no,
guys.
No, actually, we get it from Iowa.
But not until I go out there.
There are lots of great
beef be there.
Oh, you know what? Felipe's beef is pretty good.
I think I heard about that.
Yeah,
it's like an au jus sandwich.
It's a French sandwich.
Yeah, the French dip.
You know why that's named a French dip?
I come out there for New Year's,
it's a business trip for me. For all the stuff I know about food, you got me here.
Okay, I'm going to explain to you why it's called the French dip. There was a cop that used to eat at Felipe's, and he decided he wanted a little au jus
and
on his bread.
And he was French?
And his name was Mr. French. His last name was French, so they called it the French dip.
Can we
it's
really
a true fucking story? I saw it on fucking Travel Channel. I'm Googling it.
Can we really?
No, actually, I think he's right. I think I saw the same thing because that the French dip originated. The French dip originated on the West Coast.
Can we actually take a vote and everything before the caller calls in?
Can I do what?
Can we take a vote on this?
On
the whole Lee situation.
Oh Jesus.
I want the producer to call in.
We can't
in.
Take the vote without listening to his.
No,
guy.
We can't. You know what?
That's what Lenny said.
I don't care what Lenny said. I don't care what the wannabe Mayor Daly says over there.
I think Pat's being very uninteresting.
The wannabe Mayor
I want to take a vote.
Hold on. Oh, Pat, I love you, but this is really. That horse is so dead.
I want to take a vote for real. I want Caesar to call in.
I mean, you got paddles on it trying to revive it right now. It just ain't happening.
So it's not going to happen. We're not going to call Caesar.
We're
going to
have a vote. Oh! Charles, where are you going?
Charles, you know what? Why don't you get
come on back.
Come here. Wait, you got headphones in your car?
No one's got fucking headphones.
Why don't you run over to Best Buy?
Yeah, Luisi, out of everything you bring over here, you don't even bring headphones? I always forget. Don't you guys got iPods? Yeah, Len, where's your iPod headphones? Where's your iPad and all that? Your little... It's not in your car? Well, Steve, you're doing the interview with me and Tim.
That's right.
Well,
do you have headphones?
I might have some in my truck.
Well, go look. Because you got like 2 minutes before... Can I promote the show a little? Executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Tim Gibbons, is on in 2 minutes.
And you're listening to the Pat Stefano show.
Charles,
you know what, though?
Shot.
You know what, though? Kind of has a better ring to it, now that I think about it.
You were like 0 for 3 on inviting people. You want your mom to call, she tosses you under the bus. It's Sarah's call, she tosses you under the bus.
No chuckle. Now who's here?
No, I'm not tossing Matt under the bus.
No.
I just walked in.
He's taking a shot at Pat.
Yeah, I'm taking a shot at Pat.
You're Chuck, you are Mr. Negative, my friend.
This coming from Mr. Angry at Everybody.
Are those headphones over on that cabinet thing there?
I have a reason to be mad. He said something about me.
Oh, it's a blow dryer?
I'll grow up.
Headphones,
I
blow
really
dryer,
like
they look
that.
Too much
I
alike.
Haven't listened to the show in like 3 weeks. No, I listened when you had the dude from Armageddon on.
You haven't listened to my show in 3 weeks, Pat?
Yeah, Ken Campbell. I listened while he was on.
I've never listened to the show.
You've never listened to the show you're on?
Yeah, the ones I'm on I listen to.
Because I am...
You know, we
I
should
Facebook
maybe open
I
up
do.
The Fire Pat DeStefano board here.
Let's open up the debate.
You've
open
never
it
heard,
up.
You've never
open
heard
up
the show.
Debate.
I vote Fire Pat DeStefano, Keep Lee.
Do you make a motion?
I
make a motion.
Anyone seconding that emotion?
Bunch of pussies.
You got lucky.
Come on, someone raise their hand.
Oh!
I hope you can write with your left hand, buddy.
By the way, I like how the guy who
can we
broke
get our producer
the scale
on the phone
is
and
the one that gives
second
me
this motion?
Huh?
The guy who broke the scale and the fucking
oh yeah, giving you
diet
advice.
Who gives me
Yeah, Mike Turzo, Lenny was there when Mikey was giving Charles dieting advice at Philly's Best at 3 a.m.
As he's scarfing down a Philly's Best
and a pie.
Big slice of cheese.
Where'd Mike go?
He went to go look for headphones in his car. Someone wants to talk to Tim Gibbons.
I would like to get the producer on the phone of the show right now.
I don't ever want to get the producer on the phone.
Him on the phone.
So what's the news this week?
Yeah, I have a whole thing of news that you and I will do after the interview.
I'm going to do
people
it.
People that aren't yapping and snapping. Tim? I don't have my... Play a clip. See you later.
I mean, if you got him on for any longer, you're punishing the poor guy.
Okay.
Oh, Tim likes us.
Real, you know what? Before we take the caller, though, and we can put this motion to rest because I was actually aggravated about it. Now I'm actually good.
Well, we just need to hear Lee's side tomorrow.
So we did take a vote, though. Everyone.
There will be a vote.
The next, motion, you fuck.
Next Wednesday.
Same
next
thing.
Wednesday when Sam Simon.
But we do
show.
we have on air. We've heard
vote.
On air that the majority agree with Alex and myself.
People have had some issues with Lee.
I didn't ask that. I said the majority at this table.
Oh,
go
Alex,
with our motion.
Alex went with Fire Lee. I didn't write down the votes.
He's reading the he's leading the bandwagon, man.
All right, I got.
We did the motion.
I got a phone call.
Fine, you know what? Fine, you know what? We're all playing politics here with this, so yeah, we'll just drop it.
My guest
we'll drop
is
it.
On. Can,
we'll
I,
drop
can
it.
I take my guest here?
We'll drop it. Go ahead.
Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Well, this is Tim Gibbons.
Hi, Tim. How are you, sir?
I'm great. You guys are having a lively time tonight.
Oh, well, it's Italian Wednesdays, Tim, and what happens on Italian Wednesdays is a lot of loud. It's a lot of loud. NPR Tuesdays and Happy Thursdays, but...
Very good. Very
Wednesdays
good.
Are loud. Steve Weirich, why don't you sit in? Help me interview Tim here because I know you and I are both big fans of Tim's work. Tim, you are currently the executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm, one of them. And I know you also have a lot of your own television programs you're putting together as well. You got any pilots coming up this year?
I actually have two pilots in development right now. One is... One is at Lifetime, and one is for the CW. And those deals are just getting going now.
Very good. Very good. So it's nothing you could talk about at the moment.
No, I can't really. If I call you back in 3 weeks, I can talk about them.
Hey, you could call me back in 3 weeks for sure, Tim. That's absolutely. Now, you have a very interesting story that Steve has told me about how you got into the business. It involves you working for Dick Clark. Could you share that story with our listeners?
Sure. I was attending LA City College. It's a small local community college, and I took all the film and TV courses. And the idea was take the cheap courses first, and then go to UCLA and get the degree. And I ended up getting a job at Dick Clark's, and ended up never going back to college. And I ended up working there for 4 years. So it was really a kind of it was kind of a training ground. They were doing a whole lot of shows at that point, a lot of award shows and American Bandstand, which was a music dance show. They were doing movies. They were just doing a lot of stuff, and it was really an eye-opening experience and a great way to jump in. I don't know where the funny part came from, Steve. Though maybe you can tell me something I told you before.
No, not exactly funny. As it's just we like talking on this show about people's starts in the business because I just graduated from DePaul University, and between now and December, I'm going to be here until I move to L.A., and I know we have a lot of students from DePaul and Columbia and alike that listen to the program. So I learned through someone that I've been very friendly with in the business that everyone's got a different story about how they got in the business, so we like sharing those.
Oh yeah, my father was an actor, and so I kind of grew up in the business. He was he was a character actor, so he was in Hogan's Heroes and Little House on the Prairie, and did a whole bunch of different shows, and so I got an early insight into what the business was all about. And I remember when I was about 7 or 8, I went with him to an audition, and we walked in, and I sat in the lobby, and he sat in the lobby, and there were 5 other guys, and they looked just like him. And then he went into the room. There was a door, and he went in through that door. He came back out, and I said, "How'd it go, Dad?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. They'll let me know." And I got real intrigued with who was on the other side of that door. I knew I didn't want to be one of those 5 guys that looked the same. I wanted to be on the other side of that door. So I started, early on thinking about how to get into it. And the way I got my first job, literally the first day at Dick Clark, it was through another guy I knew that had gotten a job. And I learned quickly that it is really who you know in the business is how you get along. When I go to hire somebody, it's who do I know that I love to work with?
Yeah.
And if I don't, you know, if they're not available, then I ask people that do my job, hey, who, you know, who's a great art director? Who's a great whatever that I'm looking for? And, you know, it's recommendations. So it really comes down to 6 degrees of separation. If you want to get a job, you got to know somebody.
Well, yeah, and that's, the, you know, I was talking yesterday, and we're airing the interview tomorrow with a friend of the show, Phil Rosenthal.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of leads back to what Phil and I were talking about, that, you know, you do need to know people. And Jim McCarron said the same thing, many people. But my question for you, Tim, is would you agree with Phil Rosenthal that it pays to be nice in the business?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been in the business a long time. I started at the Clark Productions in 1977. And it's surprising how many people that you meet as a receptionist or a PA or whatever eventually move up. And one day you're sitting in front of them and they're looking at you. And, you know, if people remember when you're not nice, people will keep your name in mind. And if, you know, 7 years later, you're trying to pitch a show and all of a sudden that person that you were not nice to because she was somebody's assistant and you had a bad day or whatever, it's going to come back and bite you. So I try to be nice to everybody.
No, that's good. That's good. I noticed you have your own website, which is timgibbons.tv, and I've been through the whole thing. Steve and I have been following you for years, not in a stalker way, but in a internet stalker way.
Actually, Steve's been stalking me, but I know you haven't, but I'm not so sure.
Well,
about
I'm not
Steve.
As aggressive with stalking as Steve.
I'm better at it. That's the thing. I practice more.
Are you better at it? He knows he's doing it. You're not better at it if he knows. A good stalker, no one knows. So, but I did want to talk about TimGibbons.tv because you were talking about how it pays to be nice. And, Tim, your website is basically a little school of its own for people that want to get into the business. You have experts that give their advice. You give your own advice. I know you just put up a piece about pitching shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very educational tool, I believe, for people that want to be in the business, especially for writers or producers or directors. And, you know, so I did want to commend you on that. I think it's great that you do that, and I think it's very nice of you. My favorite thing, though, was I believe it was a year ago, we were reading the whole website, and then the one thing – what did it exactly say, Steve? I forget. It was about Tim Gibbons saying, I won't read your script.
Oh,
I won't.
Yeah.
Like, what
it was God, I wish I remember the exact phrase, but it was like
it was funny.
It was like your script's a doorstop, pretty much, which was just like that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like don't ask me for favors. So then my question for you is, Tim, how do you go about making new connections and networking with new people in the business? Like, how does this usually work? If people can't send you scripts, if people have to go actually, you know, do it themselves, get an agent and do all that like you're supposed to, how do you end up connecting with the people that you connected with?
It's tough. You know, on the one hand, like I said, it's who you know is how you get ahead and who hires you and, you know, ultimately gives you a break at some point. And it really comes down to timing, luck. Certainly, you really have to have a drive and you really have to really stick to it. You know, when I started at Dick Clark, it was, like I said, it was a busy company and there were a lot of PAs there. And throughout the years, most of them dropped off along the way and didn't really advance. There's only a few of us from that time that are still in the business. And the ones that, you know, have been in the business for a length of time, eventually you move up no matter how bad you are. It's a matter of finding the right person that's going to say yes to you. And if it's a, you know, it's a 6 degrees of separation. It's who do I know that works on the show? You know, if you want to work on Two and a Half Men or whatever, you need to target that and you need to figure out your game plan. And as a producer, one of my jobs is when I'm trying to set up a project or I'm going after a book or a magazine article or a script that I love or whatever, it's to continually not let anything get in your way. Go around it, go under it, go over it, go through it. Whatever you need to get to your goal is what you need to do. Yeah. So the same holds true for getting a job. It's, you know, you move out here and you send out your resume and it ends up in a big pile with a bunch of other resumes. But, you know, you call. Eventually you'll find somebody that you knew from Chicago that, you know, is out here. And they may not be in a power position, but they might be in a position to get you a gig somewhere. You know, I'm a big believer of learning your craft, and oftentimes that means starting from the bottom, even if you have the degree in, you know, filmmaking.
You know, no, so, and I do notice here, I am on the I won't do for you page. What,
yeah,
I won't do for you.
This is the best page, actually. This is
partner
great.
With you. I just like, I'll just read some of these. They're great. Help you get my agent, manager, or lawyer. Help you get an agent, manager, or lawyer. Give you money to start things up. Wear your daddy pants for you.
This is a great list.
Yeah. Hire you on my show. So my question then is, Tim, do you actually have people that come to you with these requests? Because you must.
Oh, all the time. A lot of people wanted to get into the business, or a lot of people have, you know, a quote-unquote great idea for a TV show or a film or whatever. And a lot of, you know, everybody that I've ever met has written a screenplay. So, there, you know, there's always somebody coming at you from somewhere. And part of it, in when you're a producer and, you know, you're trying to get your own project set up, whether you're a one-man band or you're at a giant company, people are always, you know, they want a leg in and they think they see you as the conduit. And, you know, certain companies make you sign a release. You know, other places won't see anything unless it's given to you by – hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
I have a daughter. She came in, wanted to talk.
Very cool.
Well, that's good. She's welcome on the show if she signs a waiver.
That's right. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So I'm on the phone. All right. Hi guys. Going crazy here.
Only unscripted realism here.
It's sweeps week. It's sweeps week on the show here. We got guest stars left and right. Cameos.
You know,
sweeps week.
A lot of places won't, you know, see something without even you signing a release, or it's gotten noisy again here. I'm going downstairs.
Oh boy! All right.
Hi, sorry.
Lenny,
no,
back.
No problem. No problem.
Oh, you're listening to the show.
Welcome,
Tim's
going
back. Downstairs.
We had Larry Poindexter on not too long ago, and he had a few words for his kids too, which is a little funny.
Yeah, his was the door was locked and they weren't getting in.
I should think of that trick. So,
but you're too good.
To get back to our story, to get your project seen, or how do you get it to somebody to take a look at it? It is difficult. People approach me a lot about stuff, and oftentimes what I will do is, if I like the little log line that they've sent and it seems semi-interesting, I'll have them sign a release saying basically that whatever they send me, I may be developing something similar, and that, you know, they release me from any kind of result. If you know, if I'm developing a cowboy Western that's almost identical to theirs, I don't want to get sued.
Right.
But there's not a lot of people that will take cold, you know, submissions. So it is difficult. It's really a persistence game.
Yeah. No, it's a fine line. It's funny you say all this because our listeners may be thinking, well, this is all very vague. No, but that's how the business is. The business is vague. Everyone gets in a different way. Everyone gets their stuff done a different way. It's a crazy business.
It's basically about who you can get to like you and who you can... And you can't ask for too much, people.
No, you can't.
Stop asking for the fucking world.
You know, part of what you know, if you talk to 100 different people in the business, you'll get 100 different stories of how they got in.
Yep.
It was a friend. It was a fluke. It was they were standing on the corner in a production show. You know, whatever their story is, you'll get a million different, you know, answers. And really, if you want to get in the business, you got to figure out what your answer is going to be.
Right, right. I mean, we've made friends with a lot of people through doing this show. I've been very friendly with the phone and emails with a lot of people that have been on the show. But it's like one of those things where it's like if they want to help me or if they want to work with me, they can ask.
Right.
I feel bad asking them. You guys are producers. You are the executive producer of the funniest fucking show on television. Who the hell am I to come to you and say, hey, Tim Gibbons, can you make my comedy? I want to be a star. Can we do this soon?
It's great.
What about me? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Work your way up like everyone else. Yes, there are some shooting stars, but people don't have any control over that. No one can make you a star.
You know, for every story that you hear about a guy like me that started literally as a PA or whatever – you know, there's thousands of those people. And then every once in a while, you'll get that one in a million thing where the guy writes one script and he gets $1 million for it and has an instant career. Or, you know, is literally discovered, you know, walking down the street. But those are few and far between. I wouldn't count on that.
And isn't it more fun to do it the way that you did it, though? Like, you worked for it. You got stories now. You know, I feel
yeah.
like when you,
I mean,
you know, it's like beating a video game that's too easy. It's like winning after level one. I want an I want stories to tell about what I had to do to get in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my first year at Dick Clark, it was, you know, doing award shows. And I remember Xeroxing the scripts at 3 a.m. and working 20-hour days. And I, you know, have lots of great stories. But I also learned, you know, part of the cool thing about starting at the bottom is you get to learn all sorts of stuff all along the way. And I found that to be a good producer, you really have to know what everybody's job is and what they do. So I bounced around a lot and learned a lot along the way.
Well, it's funny because – oh, did you have something, Mikey? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, what I was going to say was the way that you did it the right way, working your way, getting it up, would you say because of that people in your position respect what they have more than the people who just kind of shot right there and
people
had no
may
idea
respect
what
him more too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, I don't really know. Not having been the instant sensation that was, you know, offered a 6-picture deal, I don't know how those people feel. I imagine they're pretty happy as well.
Well, yeah. Of course,
but you know, the good-hearted answer is, of course, I appreciate it more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, here's an interesting thing that people may not know too, but you know. Tim currently works with one of the biggest comedy stars, comedy legend, Larry David.
Yes.
And Larry David didn't have it easy coming up. People just think Larry David got Seinfeld and that was it. And they don't understand he drove a taxi.
Like
and he
me.
Drove a taxi to nightclubs so he could perform and then went back on the road and picked people up and drove them around. Like,
right.
People don't understand. Jerry Seinfeld, it took him years.
20 years. 20
years of service and time because it takes the right person liking you. There's so many variables. It's such a difficult business. I've been writing since I was 13. No one has said to me, let's make your movie. Now, why do I keep doing it? I'm a glutton for punishment. That's why we're in the entertainment business. But, you know, yeah, that's what you got to do. Yeah, there's
right.
nothing else you can do about it. And that's why Steve and I were making the move out to L.A. It's time to finally cash in our chips and try to play the game. But
that's one, you know, that's what you got to do. I mean, a lot of people ask me, you know, can I write screenplays from Iowa? And it's like, well, you can, but, you know, it's they're going to be screenplays in Iowa. And
even John Hughes went to L.A. every once in a while, people. John Hughes
yep.
made the trip every now and then.
That's right. They shot Some Kind of Wonderful out here.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, yeah, you have to be – like, I always tell people this, and who am I to talk? I'm 27. But I always tell other students this. It is like if you want to be in the automobile industry. Well, you're either in Japan or Detroit or get the fuck out.
Exactly.
how are you going to make automobiles? So if you want to be in the entertainment business, it's L.A. For certain things, it's New York, or it's get out. You might as well hit the bricks.
Yeah.
Oh,
and keep in mind, you know, when you're coming out you know, when you land here, there's probably 50 other people landing here that day trying to get in this business. So it is very competitive, and you have to figure out the strategy to make yourself stick out. I was the best PA there ever was when I first started. And, you know, I did everything and anything. I said no problem. I, you know, made it happen fast. I didn't forget anything. I dropped none of the balls. And people noticed, and then, you know, it was like, hey, do you want to be the coordinator? Absolutely. And I was the best production coordinator there ever was. You know, and you have to prove yourself. And, you know, even if it's just, you know, how fast you get the coffee or make the Xeroxes or how, you know, incredibly smart you are about something, people will notice and eventually, you know, things happen for you.
I agree. Now, let's go to this topic then. We already brought up Larry. How did you get involved with Curb, Tim? Because you were one of the few guys that was not with Seinfeld that is
right.
Not with Curb.
I was doing a series in the mid-90s, early mid-90s, called Sherman Oaks. It was on Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a comedy, and it was shot documentary style. There was this little filmmaker dude who was just obnoxious, and he had won a MacArthur Genius Grant to do a documentary on the American family. That was the premise. And he finds the most dysfunctional family he can find, and then he makes their lives much more worse.
Yeah.
And so the camera was, the crew was almost a character. You would see them in reflections. You'd see them in mirrors. You'd see them, you know, people reacting to them. They tried to follow the hot daughter into the bathroom, and she'd push them out. And every once in a while, you'd see the little filmmaker kind of stick his head into frame and smile. And he started off each show in the edit bay going, okay, you know, the husband doesn't know, you know, that his wife's going to find out that he's cheating on her, and I'm going to make that happen. So he just made their lives miserable. It was done very inexpensively, and it was, you know, literally shot like a documentary. So I got a call from some of the guys at HBO that I'd worked with on some other things, and they said, come talk to us and tell us, you know, kind of how you do that show and what the budget is and how you shoot it, and just, you know, download us on all the information. So I did that. I went in and had lunch with the guys. And maybe 6 months, 9 months later, less than a year later for sure, I got a phone call from HBO, and they said, we're doing this special with Larry David from Seinfeld, and he's going to be doing stand-up. And, you know, is that something you might want to do? And I said, yeah, let me meet. So I didn't actually meet with Larry. I met with a guy named Bob Whitey, who was a documentary director friend of Larry's from back in the day, back in the 70s. And Bob was going to be directing this special. And it was really about Larry going back to do stand-up for the first time in 9 years. And I went and met with Bob, and it was a good interview. And he was like, so, you know, what do you know about New York? And I said, well, I was born there, but, you know, I was raised in L.A., but I know what to do. I know who to call and where to go. I'm a good producer. And I ended up going with someone else. I found out later that I was second choice. So I didn't do the special. The special aired, and HBO decided to make it into a series. They said, hey, how about 13, Larry? He said, how about 10 episodes? And I got a second call, but at this point I was under contract to Columbia. I was shooting something in Berlin for them, and I got a call in the middle of the night from the guys at HBO, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm shooting in Berlin. How long are you working on that show? And I said, oh, it's a two-year contract. And they said, all right, thanks. You know, call us when you're back. So I didn't really follow up with it. I was, you know, working full-time on this other show. Turns out that was them going to series. And they ended up, HBO ended up hiring a trio of producers to help Larry launch the series. And the guy that had done the special didn't work out, and so they hired these new people. And I started working a little bit later on the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which was a comedy show It was a hidden camera comedy show.
Yeah, I remember.
And
CW.
And Curb comes out, and I become an instant fan. And I love the show from the first time I see it, as most, as a lot of people do. And things just didn't work out with the trio producers. And I don't know if they left or if HBO wanted to make a change, but they made a change after season two. And they called me again. So this was third time is the charm, I guess. So I said I was available. I was doing, I went to the studio that I was working for and said, any chance of me getting out if I get this? And they agreed that I could get out of the contract if need be. And I went and met with Larry David this time. And he was sitting in his office. I went in and met him. And he's looking at my resume, and he's like, oh, so the guys at HBO like you. And I said, yeah, I've done some stuff with HBO. And he goes, well, you got a leg up on the other guys. And I'm thinking, because the guys at HBO like me? And he then points to his head and points to my head.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've looked at my picture on your website, for anybody listening, but I'm a bald guy. And him pointing at his bald head and pointing at my bald head, I immediately started laughing, and he told me later that when I started laughing, that's when I got the job. So I got the job because I'm bald, guys.
Now,
I kind of part of me wanted to believe that was true.
Actually,
I thought that, and I'm like, did he get this job because he's a balding gentleman? And let me tell you, I'm losing my hair. It's going.
As am I.
Thieves is gone.
Mine's gone. Yeah.
Thieves wave bye bye.
He has remnants of what once was hair. I do.
Yeah, he doesn't
trust
shake
me. Larry's big on the bald club thing. So,
well,
you guys are fine.
I got an interesting question for you. I believe season three with the chef who Larry finds in the parking lot with a toupee, but went to the interview bald. Was that any correlation to your story?
Much of what Larry does is, and most of the best writing in television is based on, hey, what happened last weekend at home? Or I was out with this guy and, blah, blah, blah. And that is based loosely on that encounter. But then, of course, Larry, in his genius, pushed it completely, over the top, made it hilarious. He started with a funny idea of, the guy gets the job because he's bald, but then, really, really turns it up. So.
He cheats. He's a cheater with that toupee. Huh. I don't like
that. Right.
Was that Ian Gomez that played the chef?
Yes, it was.
It was. Okay, yeah. I was trying to remember. Ian Gomez is hilarious. He's great.
Yeah.
No, that's great. It's great to be involved with a show like Curb. You're getting your highest ratings ever, by the way. Has you or Larry or anyone come up with a friggin' explanation for how that happened?
No. Larry is a creative genius. He likes to top himself every season. And for the longest time, every season, at the end of the season, it was like, this is it, I'm done, I don't need to do anymore. And that literally started on season four. And for, two or three more seasons, it was always, I'm done. Last season, season seven, when we went out on Seinfeld, we were all thinking, well, if you're going to go out, this is the way to go out. And previous to that, in season six, it was called season five, it was called The End. And, there was always a good reason to just leave the series at that point. And so we were all thinking, how do we top the Seinfeld? Larry's concerned about topping himself. So how did he top the,
Seinfeld
that season? Yeah. And sure enough, he started thinking about it. And, now he came up with a whole plan to go to New York. So I don't know if it's anticipation of us going to New York, which happens in this next episode, I don't really know. We've never really been concerned about ratings, but it's always nice to know that, it's great to know that people love it and want to watch it. So I have no idea.
It's safe to say you guys have no idea if you're doing another season of Curb or not.
We have no idea. Correct.
Larry will know.
Yeah, I think, the way it usually works is that I'll get a call out of the blue from Larry, and he's like, I'm ready. And it's like, oh, cool.
Jeff Garland did
call HBO.
Yeah, I was working on a radio show as I got my, wasn't my start in the comedy, but I was working on a radio show, Steve Dahl in Chicago, and Jeff Garlin is from Chicago, and he did the show. And I usually didn't like talking to the guests because I was I was Steve's assistant and I didn't want to be that guy. But it was Garland. I had to. And I asked Garland, I just go, hey, I'm the DEL. Another season of Curb. And this was like 6 years ago. And he goes, Larry will let me know when he knows.
Yeah.
That was it. He's like, look, I don't know when we're doing it. I want to do one, but Larry always just lets us know.
Yeah. It percolates around in his head, he'll decide if he's got enough to do another season and it's going to be a killer season, then he will, he'll step forward. I think HBO will always let him do more.
But do you think he's a little irritated that there's no plan set with Larry? Do you think they may find him difficult to work with or anything like that?
Oh, not at all. No.
Okay.
They have a great relationship.
Whatever Larry wants.
Yeah, he's a guy that, he's not going to just crank out shows to crank out shows. He's going to do it because he doesn't need to do it. He does it because he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And it does make it interesting for scheduling purposes, because originally this season we were thinking about a March launch, but it got pushed back to June, which I think was better in the long run anyway.
And it worked out.
It just takes, they just need to, we give them as much advance notice as of when we're going to be up and when we can deliver, and then they start figuring out when they want to schedule it.
Well, Tim, what direction is television going in, and what are some of your favorite programs on right now?
Oh, gosh. I've been hearing more and more about webisodes. Maybe it's just because I'm interested in that arena that I'm just exploring it more, but it seems like, I've been watching LXD, I've been watching Bar Karma. I've been watching, a lot of the kind of longer form webisodes that are out there. I think some of that stuff's pretty interesting. I think that it's to a certain extent expanding into, it doesn't matter what your screen is. It's, if it's good content, you'll watch it for as long as it's good content. So whether it's a 30-minute show on broadcast TV like Modern Family, which I love, or 30 Rock, I like 30 Rock a lot. Or if it's a 7-minute webisode that is really cool, LXD I think is great, with the dancers and all that, and I think it doesn't matter really so much what the platform is anymore, because everyone's trying to make it work for every platform now. So as far as down the road, it's hard to tell. This really feels as far as the net, that we're in the Wild Wild West still. And if you want to get out there and make a web series, it's not impossible. Cameras are pretty cheap. Editing, you can do it, on your laptop. So I think that there's opportunities for lots of people to do lots of things.
Well, Phil Rosenthal was even saying people use their phones. He's like, they take their phones and they just make the little TV shows.
He may be a bit of a mensch there.
But
there's,
I was shocked
to hear that. There's two college students that have been out. I've actually seen them speak twice now. Once was I'm on the board of governors for the Television Academy, and we always have kind of a what's coming up next in television part of a retreat that we have. And they came and presented their show, and they'd shot it all and edited it all on the iPhone. And then I saw them do another presentation. The Directors Guild had a DGA Digital Day, as they called it, and it was all about 3D and webisodes, and it was all pretty fascinating stuff, and they came to that as well. So they're still pushing that idea. I think it's a little bit of a gimmick because, sure you can shoot on an iPhone, but is it,
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say the production quality might not quite be
right
there.
I'm with you, and I hope the business does not really go in that direction. Now, the way I hope the business does go in is I hope we get more production. I'd like to see more shows on Netflix and iTunes maybe, and
Hulu?
Maybe on the Hulu, on the web. But, high-quality produced shows. I don't want to see some kid's little movie off of some iPhone.
Right.
I don't care how great the story is. I couldn't do it. Now, but
right.
my, question for you, Tim, is why hasn't the business, okay, CBS, and we love CBS here, and I love Les Moonves, obviously, because you have to. And so, but my question is, why do a deal with Amazon.com instead of opening up your own, make a deal with Netflix, or open up your own, like, Redbox service where you're on Xbox and people can download your shows and watch your shows. Why hasn't anyone done that?
You know, I don't have an answer for that. I'm going to have to ask somebody else. I have no idea.
Yeah,
it would seem like that's a no-brainer. But obviously, I'm not in that end of the business, so.
I mean, it's like, I'm just shocked that you have Amazon pay this amount of money. Go do your own thing. You're friggin' CBS. Open up your own Netflix.
Yeah.
It ain't that hard. Oh, well, that was my question on that. Steve, what do you got for
Tim? I had a answer there for you, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? If I ever bump into Leslie, I'm gonna ask him.
Just bump into him?
Well, I'm hoping to have Kelly call on the show in a few weeks, but Leslie, I don't think – we haven't even tried calling Leslie. He's on the Larry David list where we just you're not going to do the interview.
You just give up ahead of time.
Yeah, I gave up. Someone said to me, oh, you got Tim Gibbons. You should get Larry David. Yeah, let me also get the genie's lamp and rub it for a couple more wishes.
Yeah,
too.
I got Dalai Lama on the phone for you, man.
Yeah. No,
yeah, you can get the low-hanging fruit like me, but get into the other ones. Good luck.
Yeah, well, Larry doesn't like doing interviews.
I was shocked you did that Rolling Stone. I was surprised.
There's part of me.
If nothing else, Larry always will surprise you. You know, I'm always surprised by Larry, by something.
I have a feeling the Rolling Stone thing had to be someone asked him, put him in a situation where his arm was a little twisted.
Well, you know, being on the
I know that he's good friends with Jan Wenner, so there must have been some interplay there.
Yeah, I figured as much. And you know what? They did a really respectful job. I thought it was as good as the Howard Stern interview a few months ago they did. So that was good to see.
And I drove a cab for 10 days as well. So, I mean, I was just as miserable.
Yeah, for 10 days.
For 10 days, I drove a cab and I lost money. I was miserable.
They gave him a cab, Tim,
tell him
with
the mileage.
500,000 miles on it.
What cab company did you work? It was for Universal Cab out in Addison there. And, they gave me this minivan. And I usually had to pick up either families living in homeless shelters or DUI people. Out here in the beautiful suburbs. So it was, after 10 days, I had a skedaddle from that job. But I'm like, oh, no wonder Larry.
That sounds like work.
Oh, my God. It was awful. But I had a new appreciation for cab drivers. That's for sure. That is for sure.
Wow.
So what odd jobs have you had, Tim?
Oh, golly. Let's see. I had a job once where I tested raw stock short ends. When you're shooting a movie, you may shoot a scene, and if you have a 1,000-foot roll, you may only use 830 feet of it or something, and you need a bigger piece for the next scene, so you just pull that, what they call short end out, you put it back in the black bag, and you put it back in the can, and then you sell it to some place. And I worked for this little company that we resold that stuff, so it was like little scavenger hunts. And my job was to test the film to make sure that it hadn't been struck by light. So that was one thing. And then along the way, in television, I've had just a ton of different jobs. I've location scouted. I was an electrician for a few days. I think that was my very first job was as an electrician. And at the time, they had this cable that was called 4-aught. It was about... It's about an inch thick, and it came in these giant, rolls of cable, and they weighed about, 75 pounds each, and you had to sling one over each shoulder. And the shoot took place in a church, and they needed to light the steeple. So my job was to schlep this dirty, heavy cable up like four flights of stairs, and I pretty much figured out in that short span that I didn't want to be an electrician. I didn't have that kind of you know, stamina.
You're not a bodybuilder who can just
no.
That stuff.
I like hiring the guys to do that. You know, that's
oh yeah.
That's,
call that a character building job.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
What else? You know, I've had lots of little jobs along the way, but ever since I, you know, as soon as I got into Dick Clark's, it was like, wow, this is a cool candy factory. I want to stay in here.
Oh, absolutely. I will say I do appreciate. I do appreciate how we've gone digital, because usually when I edit, because I've learned some editing, part of my concentration is which you needed to know how to edit. Usually me editing on even on Final Cut Pro, I'm swearing up a storm and just screaming these obscenities. Like I had classmates come to my bay and they're like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm fine. I just can't find this certain shot." And you know, I can't imagine slicing actual film. I'd die. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we learned all that in film school, but that was when moviolas were still around. So
moviola, yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does blow my mind how they used to edit film.
Yeah, how did you do that? How'd you put up with that?
you literally had a bin full of, you know,
lewds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, man.
One of my buddies, he is an editor. He edited ER, won a couple Emmys, and I asked him how he got started in the business, and he was the guy that cut and taped the film. Now he didn't get to edit it. He didn't get to choose how to edit it, but he got to cut and tape Raging Bull. He was like the assistant to the assistant editor, and he had to bring wheelbarrows of film up to the Raging Bull. They were doing this in a small room. Like a 32nd of the size of this studio, like small.
That's funny. I was an assistant editor for a film editor for a few weeks, I think, a pretty well known guy. But you know, I really appreciate editors. It takes a great deal of focus and intellect to look at the big picture and then sit there and shave frames and you know, do fine cuts. And the people that are really good at it are, you know, really good. And so I have great respect for editors.
Yeah, I do too. Now I got two more.
Make or break, you know, a show.
I got two more questions for you, Tim. One,
sure.
The line from Get Shorty, and how true is it? Is, well, I don't think the producer has to know much, from Chili Palmer. Now, being the guy that was like, did at one time you were the head of the Producers Guild too, right?
I was president of the Producers Guild, yep.
Yeah, okay. So do you just think that's funny, or do you think there's a lot of people that think that way? Like, how much responsibility is involved?
Let me put it this way. A lot of people don't know what producers actually do. You know, there's the old stereotype of the guy with the stogie cigar, you know, who's got a hot secretary and doesn't really do much except yell at people.
Yep.
You know, my mother doesn't really know what I do still. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. It's, and you know, there's all sorts of different kinds of producers. There's line producers, there's associate producers that work in post or in, you know, reality. There are produced by, which are line producers. There are supervising producers, coordinating producers, executive producers, you know, and everybody and their brother wants to be a producer, but, you know, if only they knew what we actually did. So it's, you know, I use that line because I think it's hilarious that, you know.
So you're saying it's not all tuxedos and James Bonding it around town, and you're saying you actually have to put in hours upon hours of manual labor and phone calls and meetings, and it's there's a lot to it, you're saying.
Yeah. You know, in my in-between curb, I go and do other projects because we're never sure exactly if or when we're coming back. And you have to pay the bills, so I tend to bounce around a lot in between seasons, which is great. You know, in developing projects to pitch them and try and get them set up, you know, that can be a full-time job that doesn't really pay you anything until maybe it gets set up and maybe it gets shot. I had one project that I started. It took me 3.5 years to really get it going, and it started out, I met with a book author, and the author was just great, and I thought that there was something there. And I developed the project based off of the book into a treatment so that I could get it straight in my head. And then I got it into a pitchable form, and I went to a studio and pitched it to them, and they loved it and said, this is great, let's do this. There's one network we want to take this to. And we looked around for a writer. We found the right writer that was for this project. It was a female-driven show, so we looked for a strong female writer. We found one. We worked up the pitch with her, and a couple days before we were going in to pitch this, I was talking to somebody, and they said, oh, she's a great writer. Just make sure she's on her meds. And I laughed and hung up. And turned out they weren't joking. They were serious. And the pitch went into bizarre world, alternative universe land. It wasn't the pitch that,
oh boy,
that it worked up at all. So it killed it at that network, and it killed it for that studio. So that project, you know, went back on my shelf. I let it sit there for about 6 months while I tried to figure out what to do. Then I said, I think I need an attachment. So I went to my managers and said, I need a big star. And we went out and found a big star. And I pitched it to that person, and they loved it, and let's do this. And we, you know, I went into another network and pitched it. They bought it in the room. They loved it. They thought this was going to be wonderful. And we then started another writer search. And that took a long time. It took about 4 months. We had to read about 75 writers. We narrowed it down to about 15. We read more of their stuff. We narrowed it down to about four. Met with four of them, picked one, thought that was perfect. We developed a treatment, and then she went off to write. In the meantime, I went away to do some other projects. It took a long time to get that first script out, and my development fee for developing that project up until then from the network was $5,000. The writer got over $50,000. And that's the life of a freelance producer.
Yeah.
And, if, you know, that project ended up not working out there, and so now it's back on the shelf, and I'm going to go out there again with it somewhere else. But, you know, it's hard being a producer, especially if you're not a big-name producer that has a first-look deal at, you know, some studio or something. So
right.
It's, you know, and I'm working, you know, I'm not working full-time for 4 years on this project, but it's a lot of work. And, you know, when I do work on it, it's just time-consuming. You gotta know what you're doing. So it's, you know, it can be a tough slog, but, you know, I'm also not going to say, well, you know, poor me, woe is me. I love what I do, and if it works out, then it works out great. If it doesn't, you know, I put it back on the shelf. Think about it some more. So
now let me ask you one last thing, Tim. Explain to us how you have set up on your website. You will consult with people, and what kind of advantages can you get from consulting with a Tim Gibbons?
Well, you know, I do that. It depends on what it is. You know, if I think that I can't help somebody, then I'm not going to waste their money or my time. But if I think that that there might be something there that's actually saleable, then I will help them. And again, you know, I list all those things I won't do, because those are things that just I can't do or won't do because it just doesn't make any sense. But I consult in a number of ways, one of which is I can help with script, you know, development. Sometimes a script will come in and it's just horrible. It's, you know, they've never read a script in their life, and, you know, they've looked at one for format, but you can just tell that they haven't done any homework. And at that point, you really have to say, you know, I think you need to just rethink, you know, going any further with this. No one's going to look at this. And you have to be, you know, pretty blunt sometimes. But I help with script development. I help with people that are trying to get packages together that might have schedule and budget kind of issues. I help with, you know, if somebody has a really cool idea but doesn't really know what to do with it, I can help with that. But again, I don't want to turn myself into a full-time consultant because I'm trying
right.
to juggle my career as it is. But, you know, I try and help when I can.
Well, that's great, Tim. I'm a big fan of that. Steve, do you have anything else for Tim? Mikey, anything
no.
else?
Thanks for coming on.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm excited, you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
And,
thank you,
Tim. Oh, and by the way, Tim said he won't be your best friend on the, what he won't do for you.
Yes.
But, Tim, can we at least be friends?
Can we at least be friends? Yeah. If we're not best friends, can we be... Can
Don't
we
worry. I'm not going to ask for anything.
Lisa acquaintance?
Absolutely.
All right. Friends with Tim Gibbons.
We can have a guffaw together, you know.
Yeah, just lunch. That's all. Not one of those business lunches, because I eat at lunch.
I was going to say,
I don't do business lunch. I eat.
Well, yeah. You know, the weird thing is that I'm on LinkedIn, and I shudder every time I get a new invitation, because invariably, even though it says on there, I don't want any submissions. I don't want to see your script or anything like that. You know, if you want to link in, that's great. But invariably, out of every 10 people that sign up, two or three of them want me to look at a project that they have or look at a script or something. So
no, not us. Really, we just want to take Tim Gibbons to Philly's Best.
Exactly.
Have a cheesesteak.
Sounds good.
Have a cheesesteak.
I was just going to ask you, Tim, will you go to the Philly's Best with me and Matthew here?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, that's beautiful. Something he will do. But now other people are going to ask him. Too late. Too late.
That's it. There was a one-time offer, and it was for you guys.
Been taken.
Yes, one-time offer. We're in. All right, Tim, thank you so much. Curb Your Enthusiasm is on 9:30 Central Time. What, 10:30 Eastern?
7:30
Pacific PST, Time? All right. And that. Wait, is it on 7:30 Pacific, Tim?
It's only if you have the East Coast feed. Otherwise, it's on at 10:30.
Oh, okay. So they do they refeed it. Because I remember, that's the weird thing about L.A. you're going to have to get used to, Steve. It's not based on TV time. Like, if it's airing here at 9:30, it doesn't necessarily, unless it's live, it doesn't air at 7:30 there.
Right.
I'm going to need to hire someone to just take time for it.
Well, HBO's pretty fancy that way. They got East and West.
That's right.
The home box office there.
But thank you so much,
you,
Tim, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I had a great time.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Tim Gibbons, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a good time.
He's a good man.
He is
a good man.
I gotta say, now he's up there with Kid Cameo appearances. Him and Larry Poindexter are in the same ranks of.
You know what you gotta respect though. You gotta respect the fact that he just flat out comes out and says, "Look, I am not willing to do this, 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 and this. Don't waste your time. Don't waste mine." Because some people be like, "Oh, what a jag off," or something like that. But
or
they run from you. But I look back and I say, you know, I respect that because now I know.
Absolutely, Mikey. I agree.
Yeah. But you know what's funny is how many people still try.
He said all the time. He said constantly, which I can't get over. I'm like, really? Not only that, you gotta be pretty effing stupid to just to go about
it. You know what? Roger Ebert just said on Twitter 2 minutes ago, "I will not read your fucking script."
Oh, there it is.
Maybe he was listening.
Whoa. Here's a question, though. Who's giving Roger Ebert their script?
Everybody should know movie critics hate
he
all
He can still read.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Well, I know, but I'm just very... Okay, if I would give my... Well,
is there
I,
something wrong with him?
Oh, he's got the cancer.
God bless him.
But I'm just saying that, like, normally you give your script to directors, you know, not film critics.
So... Do we take a small break?
Yeah, let's take a short break.
Because I'm going to finish my pie.
Yeah, let's get that. We had Daryl Hall.
We're
going
to play a little jingle.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Leonard back over here and Pat. And we're going to yap and with Mikey and Charles. I don't know. We'll be all over.
No big whoop.
Big, good bit.
Oh, and thank you, Steve Weirich, for booking Tim Gibbons.
Well, you'll have to just thank Tim again.
All applause for Tay.
Thanks, Tim Gibbons, for calling off the restraining order. But yes, you know.
That was funny.
That was really good.
You've been stalking him.
I've been stalking. He knows. You're
not good at it.
You stalked him like a cheeseburger from White Castle.
Absolutely. He was, he is a slider, that Timmy Gibbons.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm going to play it. Whoa, I don't know what that means. I'm going to play a little jam.
Go for it.
I don't feel the need to give my secrets away.
people really listen to this show?
I would hope not after that last.
I think they do.
Oh, Kanata.
No, with Pat and them.
Calm down. Oh, yeah, with Pat.
It's fucking annoying.
Well, our friend Timmy Gibbons said, we're a lively bunch.
Should talk more about Kirby Enthusiasm.
We're fairly lively.
It wasn't. If Larry was on, I'd have more to talk about.
I try and mile my life after Larry David.
You know what?
Peter Griffin.
Can I bring up a story? Do we talk about the birthday weekend first, or do I do the news here? Do a little news, or do
the
birthday
weekend?
Yeah, it's your birthday.
I think it's his fake.
As people may or may not know,
I think this is his half birthday.
Steve, when's my real birthday?
August 15th, 1983.
Thank you. I have other people remember my information.
I like the guy who lives under the stairs. You go to him for the birthday.
Passed over
did he just earn 5 more fish heads?
Yes, I did.
You earned a supplement in your bucket.
You're not going to see my ID.
Yeah, right.
Yes, Steve, now you don't have to peel potatoes tonight.
Thank the Lord.
But you will have to go pick me some pharmaceuticals up at the pharmacy. I was not going to say anything else.
Sergio's Pharmacy?
Oh, I got an extra pair of headphones in my pocket.
Oh,
I wouldn't even want them.
You want to grab a chair full of them. You can share a $600 account.
What does it say? Yeah.
That's not a real ID.
Oh, that's not a real ID?
Run this under
just like head. That's not a real tan. Because that's not a real tan.
We have an actual DMV federal employee here who's going to do an official check.
They're checking my ID because no one believes I'm 27.
Very hard. No. Waiting. I'm getting a look.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's real.
Folks, it's real.
Check the license number.
It's real. It's real. So my birthday is Monday. We have Deanna Martin on Tuesday as my birthday gift. Hello, Deanna.
Happy fucking birthday, jerk off.
Hello.
So what are we doing for my birthday, gentlemen?
I'm going out. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I've got plans.
Oh, we're going to the pretense that we're actually hanging out.
I've got Eric the Clown lined up.
Yeah, I guess. So what are we doing for my birthday, gentlemen?
John Wayne Gacy the Clown.
Mikey.
I was going to get you abroad, but you turned it down.
I didn't turn it down. I just said I'm going to know it's a hooker. You said I would never know the difference.
No, but did you turn down strippers?
No.
No, he turned down a hooker.
No, I didn't turn down a hooker or agree to a hooker, but I didn't turn down the hooker.
I take that back. I've been a little brash. She wasn't a hooker. She's a good friend of mine who's just in a bad way.
So Mikey said, you'll never know she's a hooker. That's what he said. And I go, I'm going to know. That's all.
I bet you wouldn't.
Because you kiss.
If
you
a hot
kiss.
Girl hits on you, that's a pretty good sign she's a hooker.
If what?
Actually, there's pretty much your tell. Yeah.
Hey, you're the one that called me and left me a voicemail telling me to come here today.
This is coming from Fraggle Rock over here.
Why'd you call him Fraggle Rock?
You know
you
what?
All look like you're on Fraggle Rock.
You know what? When we got out today, they should play the Fraggle Rock theme song.
Because your kiss. Is on my list.
Suddenly,
what are we doing for my birthday?
We're gonna be. If there's any girls out there that want to come on the boat,
so Friday, what are we doing? Friday, what are we doing after you hang out with your boy? Friday.
Your guy, that's your pal.
Friday.
Oh, who's calling into the show? Hello. Who's calling?
Hello.
Who is this? Some broad. Is this
Megan? I was wondering if you want to play a game.
What's the game?
Is this Matthew Aaron?
Yeah, this is Matthew Aaron. You're on the Matthew Aaron show.
Give me the headphones.
No.
Get the fuck away from my headphones, asshole.
Guess who I am, boy.
Huh?
Let's play a game.
All right, let's play a game before I hang up on you. Who the fuck is this?
Hello, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Hello, Clarice.
Matthew Aaron, I'm your friend. Guess who I am? Long time listener, first time caller.
Oh my god, it's
Chuck?
No.
Nicole?
Oh, it's Nicole.
What up, bitches?
Nicole,
raccoon,
what are you?
The raccoon eyes?
Nicole, oh, I thought you were this chick Megan, who none of us like.
Oh, no.
Like her, and she doesn't know that Alex is moving to Indiana in October.
Well, then let me try this again. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
How's it going?
So would you like to talk to Pat?
No, I already talked to him. He's cool.
Oh, you talked to him already?
Yeah. I was trying to prank call you, but it didn't work very well.
Yeah, why were you at the Cubs game with TJ, by the way?
Oh, because TJ's my friend.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's
what does that mean, TJ is my friend?
And they say he's just a friend.
Lenny needs to hear you. He's stealing headphones.
Let's talk about something. What are we doing for your birthday?
What are we doing for my birthday, Nicole? You're more than welcome.
I have no idea, but I want to be a part of it. I need to be a part of this epic night.
You're not invited.
No, she's invited.
No,
she's the only
what?
One thinking about it.
No, she's not inviting other people.
She's excited about it.
Are you kidding me?
She's busy with her cousin this weekend.
Can Lenny hear me right now?
Yes, he can hear you.
No, I can't.
And he says you're busy with your cousin this weekend.
I am busy. Saturday and Sunday I'm busy, unfortunately.
Friday I'm free and Saturday I'm free.
Okay, so what are you doing Friday?
What
Party
are,
Town.
What are we doing Friday?
Party Town. Should we go get some brats?
Oh, should we go get some brats?
Listen to some jams?
I don't care.
Listen to my jams?
Yeah, I do have a lot of jams.
Why isn't she in bed by now?
Are you supposed to be?
Right?
Whose bed are you supposed to be in?
Because I had Patrick listening to the show for me, and I told him to text me when your guest was off so I didn't interrupt you. So I stayed up late.
So is Patrick
so I can call into your show.
Yeah, are you at Patrick's house?
No, I'm at my house, silly.
Oh, is he coming by your house, silly?
No.
There was some hesitation.
A little hesitation.
We might have to do a little James Bond tonight.
Yeah, a little hesitation.
He's delivering the sloppy beef.
I don't even know why I'm friends with you guys, to be honest. All you do is make fun of me.
No, we're not making fun of you. Chuck's talking about Pat's wet beef.
Oh, ew.
Is that how far down you could take
it? No, I think that was her panic.
What? Question. Who's Chuck, first of all? And second of all, is Kurt there, too? Girl.
Who's
okay,
giving,
well, I'm going to let you guys go, I guess.
Hey, whoa. Who's giving a blowjob class?
Tara on the boat.
Oh, Tara.
Oh, my God. Yes, she was.
Lenny told me, do not talk to
with a Bud Light bottle.
I like Tara. Tara parties.
Yeah, no.
REI parties.
Remember, wasn't it you that told me how Tara took two big black dicks in her mouth at one time?
Oh, my
Absolutely
God.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Are you
I didn't know that story.
Guinness World Records Award for that.
Hey, and Nicole, what are we doing Friday? I need to know.
I don't know. I'm free Friday, so if you want to do something for your birthday.
We're going to go to Rush, I think. We're going to go to Rush Street.
That's right.
Why am I not surprised?
We're going to go. What does that mean, you're not surprised?
I'm not surprised.
What do you like to do for fun, sweetheart?
Cubs game.
Yeah, go hang out with TJ at Wrigley Field.
I can't wait till they
are
turn.
Are we talking about the same TJ that
yes.
I'm thinking of?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
We are.
Well, you know what? That's
I went to the Cubs game. Why are you ripping on me?
I'm not ripping on you. I'm just saying, what do you like to do for fun?
I love going out in Lincoln Park and going to Cubs games.
And
drinking vodka lemonade.
You like drinking vodka lemonade? I'll bring plenty of that. I'll bring a gallon.
All right, can we cut her?
Lenny wants to be cut.
Wow.
What would you
All
like?
All right, bye.
Friday, Nicole.
I'm hanging out. I'll talk to you.
Oh, now she's going to leave.
See you later.
So bad.
We
Come
just
on.
Lost the hot Polish.
It's been
boy.
Real.
We love Nicole.
Bye.
Nicole, I'll
we
talk to you
Nicole.
Later.
I
bye.
Love you even with your blue eyes.
Stay off my Facebook tonight. No crazy comments.
Oh, no, I'm going out right now.
No, thanks. Bye.
Like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
I will be on your Facebook.
Hey, can I make a quick request?
Yes.
Because I'm going to listen to this tomorrow morning. So for your going out song, can I make a request?
Well, what's the request?
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean it.
Never mind. Forget it.
What's the request?
I just want to hear some Britney Spears.
Oh, like
Britney
this
Spears?
Is K hits all of it. K hits! Britney Spears!
What do you want to hear?
And Ryan Seacrest here. Next up.
What about Katy Perry? Is that
Britney,
okay?
Bitch.
We've been having a lot of Katy Perry.
Only if you play Katy Perry and Lenny sings along to My Friday Night.
I do know the words.
Bye.
All around the room. In the pool.
I smell like a mini
bar. Pass out in the yard. What's a hippie or a bruise? Cause up last night and they're up online. I'm screwed.
Oh well.
It's a blacked out blur, but I'm pretty sure it's ruled.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's Friday night. I'm with the
and we took too many shots
last Friday night.
Hard and got kicked out of the bar, the boulevard,
last Friday night.
So I guess we're going to Boys Town for my birthday. Spin, here we come.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Come on, manhole.
Oh, come on.
That's still
can there. I tell you a true story about manhole? True story. I was driving home from the Cubs game with my dad. We were 15.
Well, of course,
it was my dad, it was myself, my friend, and his dad. And we drove by manhole, and it said on the marquee, performing live tonight, the Lego Maniac.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I know Lenny's into Lego, so I thought he maybe liked that story.
You know what I'd like to know? Let's think about that.
I don't know what it means either. It was the Lego. I'm telling you a true story. It was a joke.
At the manhole, what kind of sexual innuendo could the Lego Maniac be?
That's what I want to know. Was he, like, painted yellow? Did he have, like, the little top going on?
Wait. Think about
it. I like it with your mind.
Maybe they took, like, three or four guys who were painted different colors and made something out of them like Legos.
Oh. Have you seen the way a Lego bends over, though?
Yeah.
Pretty gay. Holes,
like, they do have bigger holes in the back.
They do.
Yeah,
in the back of their legs.
You know what's weird? Now that Katie Rose Cronin's not doing the show as often anymore, I feel like I could say retard again.
Say it again.
Do you blame her for not doing the show?
Or retarded.
You know, I don't think she really felt comfortable.
Oh, you think it was too much testosterone?
I don't really want to answer that question because I don't have anything nice to say. But I don't know.
I can actually tell you guys
when Len. Oh, thank you. When Lenny wanted her to, or when Lenny brought up the masturbation show with Katie Rose Cronin, I remember editing this show.
I don't recall such things.
Leonard Cannata said masturbation with KRC. Do it, and you guys all.
You did. You said she had a voice for
sex
talk.
You did,
and that she should have a show about her and masturbating.
Well,
I don't know half the shit that.
But is Lenny lying? Because I don't think so.
It was a sexy voice.
I used to listen to your show.
Well, she'll
just
be
when
on
you start talking.
You know, Larry Flynn asked Casey Anthony to pose nude in Hustler.
Right,
oh.
Whipped cream.
You didn't know this? Larry Flynn asked Casey Anthony to appear nude in Hustler.
Really?
The Huffington Post gives a shit.
Yeah, Larry Flynn actually wrote an article for the Post saying why I asked Casey Anthony to pose for Hustler.
People read the
and what's the
Post?
Answer? Oh, do I actually have to read Larry Flint? Okay. We like Larry here.
I actually like the movie People versus.
Yeah, we like Larry here.
Yeah.
And it's short, so it's okay.
Great.
A lot of people are upset about my offer to Casey Anthony to pose in Hustler magazine. I can understand being upset by the verdict, but it doesn't give anyone the right to dismantle the whole justice system. I've said publicly that I agree with the verdict, but she very well may be complicit in the death of her daughter. I know there is a 2-year-old child gone, and if any of us could bring her back, we would, but we can't. I did not make my offer to her in a vacuum. The media has spent the past 3 years making Casey Anthony into a media star. They've breathlessly covered every aspect of the case from the day they learned that the little girl was missing. Now that she's out of jail, the media continues to devote hours of programming to even the tiniest bit of information about what she may or may not be doing. Without that, no one would even know who she is. That is his explanation for why he offered.
I think it makes perfect sense. He's capitalizing on a moment in time.
You know what? The whole Casey Anthony situation, that happens every fucking day in this country.
Yep. Yep.
Happens every
they just picked
day.
The one girl who...
One little cute fucking white girl.
Who likes
to
club.
No one gives a shit when it happens.
Who
on
the likes to club,
Mikey.
Wait.
Nobody fucking
guilty.
Gives a shit when it happens on the south side of Chicago or some shit.
It's true.
Nobody gives a shit. But they gave such a big fucking deal about this. I'm sick
no.
of hearing about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, little black kids die every day
yeah.
on the south side of
yeah.
Chicago.
Worry about fucking gun control on yeah. the south side.
Man, no
I was watching. I was
worry
watching.
About every fucking day a murder. Yeah. What do you worry about that?
I was watching Good Day Chicago.
This girl's a dumb fucking parent. Yeah, she should be hung for that. But other shit happens.
Lenny, it's news. They know they can build on it.
Because it's not even news, though. It's like sensationalized.
No, it's news isn't even news. It's entertainment.
It's not. It is. That's what it's based on.
These
are the people you worship in media.
No. There's a difference between media and entertainment. Well, they're the same.
Well, but. Media and entertainment.
Hey, well,
same
you
thing.
Mean I should be ashamed?
You're
not,
blowing Rupert
not,
Murdoch so hard.
Wait, you shouldn't be ashamed?
I'm just getting this vision of a guy who goes around randomly jerking off other guys.
I should be
and
ashamed.
That was Rupert Murdoch.
I
that's
should be ashamed.
I think Rupert Murdoch, that's what I think.
I am.
Dancing Carrot proposes marriage in China.
A dancing what?
A dancing carrot. One of those guys in a suit. We don't care about that story.
Yeah, that's retarded.
Do you do a Google search for, like, dumb fuck news?
No, these are my news stories that I follow.
Huffington Post used to be a credible source.
No, it's in the weird news section.
There's a weird news section.
Oh, you want to know about the real news going on in the country? Do you have Xanax?
No.
Are you
no,
ready?
No. You know what? There's
no, you
enough...
don't want antidepressants on this
there's
show?
There's enough people that have to spend their entire day reporting about the real news.
Oh, can I tell you about a story I read in Gawker? Man seizes woman's Facebook, demands nude pics as ransom.
Wow.
Wait.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Hackers are not particularly well known for having coherent, well-thought-out plans, but man, this one may really take the cake. John Joachim III has been arrested and accused of taking control of a friend's Facebook and Gmail accounts and demanding that she send him nude photos as ransom. Joachim allegedly seized the woman's accounts and then began anonymously emailing her, demanding nude pictures of herself to get back control of her accounts. He was tracked down by the police and charged with extortion and computer crime.
The thing is, if he took over her email and Facebook account, where was he emailing her?
Hold on.
Another account?
I have a question. What kind of name is Joachim?
Joachim.
How are you spelling this?
Look, I'm not going to jump out and make assumptions of what race this man is here, but
no, that's where Mike Terzo's going with this. I just want
no, I was just actually
he looks Eastern European.
Not Terzo.
Okay, that's all
war.
I'm asking.
Left over from the Cold War,
possibly.
You used to be KGB, weren't you?
Yeah, because
your
I'm
name was
Europe.
Michael Terzinski.
Yeah, because I'm Eastern European.
Hey, you want to hear about this one? NYPD has a social media unit now to Facebook stalk criminals.
Wait. Are we going to have Law and Order cyberbullying on
do you
TV
have a
now?
Law and Order soundbite? We can
dun dun.
No.
There it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have a case.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. Steal yourself for what will surely become the most sedentary spinoff Law and Order yet. The NYPD has announced the formation of a new division, the Social Media Unit,
which
will solve crimes by Facebook stalking people. Assistant Commissioner Kevin O'Connor will head up the unit.
That might be a fun job.
As a intelligence officer, O'Connor apparently jumped into social media with the zeal of a middle-aged guy who really hates gangbangers. He is credited with using social media to nab shooters, stabbers, and gay bashers. Loath be the teenager and his extended family who dares upload an underage party picture to Facebook.
You know what I'd like to know?
You better watch it on the book.
Well, all I'm going to say is NYPD just got a little fatter.
Hey, but can I tell you, we should really watch it on the book.
Let's take more cops off the streets.
The guy who broke the machine.
Yeah, wait, the guy that broke the MRI machine, yeah.
Hey, let's not call the pot black, okay? Or the kettle black or whatever that saying goes, all right?
Pat Tobias said, by the way, your two's performance the last Friday night was worse than a Japanese guy doing karaoke.
William Hung?
Yikes.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be good.
Well, I thought it was decent.
It was me singing like no one's listening.
I thought it sounded like...
And on this show, no one is listening.
Well, what's funny is I thought it sounded like when you were in your rental car doing it.
Last Friday.
That song was on every time.
You know what? I bet you we could sing Bublé, Sinatra, and Dean Martin better than we could sing...
Oh, God, here we go.
Katy Perry.
Possibly.
I think...
Go ahead. Here, I'll play you a song, Mikey.
All right.
What are you in the mood for, Mikey? Mikey karaoke hours. Frank Sinatra, The Summer Wind. Are you ready?
Sure. You going to join in here, Len?
Wait, right before
it's
we
about
do...
about me and you.
But before we do that...
I'm not denying that I'm not a freak.
Just had to get that off.
Well, because you just said I'm not denying that I'm not a freak. I applaud you for that, Chucky. God bless you. Keep it freaky.
Are you ready, Mikey?
Turn it up.
Turn it up a little, well, then they can't hear you.
No, yeah, trust me, they'll hear me.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your head and walk with me. All summer long, we sang a song, and then we strolled down golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying. The world was new beneath the blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a fiber man, one day it called to you. To the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter wind, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And get your thoughts. Never end. My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind.
Good.
That was good. We did it. That was good, right?
I like to hear the replay of that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know what? We should do...
I'm getting messages on Facebook fast and furious right now. We just pissed off somebody.
Well, I still
or
think everybody.
The natural state.
I am thinking that we should do Chicago or my kind of town. That would be just.
Well, we could sing again for Deanna.
No, not today.
You don't
want
to sing for Deanna?
Oh no, absolutely. I will. I would love to. I'm
not
just saying,
sure
let's not
she's
do it now.
Excited. She may not be as excited.
She'd probably be like, oh, yeah, that's great. Anyway, hey, I got to go. So
I got heartburn.
I got Azure from that.
I enjoyed that. I think we did a little good at performance. I think
the summer wind.
The summer wind.
Actually, let me examine it first.
Cross the wind. What was horrible?
Hey, I don't see you getting up doing karaoke.
Yeah, we don't see you doing
Louis.
Karaoke.
I
got to
get up there when I only drink fucking
Louie.
Sake? Who drinks sake before karaoke? That's American.
Oh, we saw some movies.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did see some movies.
Oh, yeah, the movie reviews. So, anyway.
Oh, here we go.
So, anyway, I...
Mike Terzo was unable to make it to the movie on Sunday at
Pride. Yeah, actually, let's touch on that. I was thinking about calling my wonderful friends to see if there was any movie on Sunday, and I thought to myself... God, you know what? They'll call me if anything's going on. I'm just going to go run some errands.
I'm going to
apparently
sit back.
Nobody saw a movie.
I'm going to sit back and
I got
enjoy
no phone
this.
Call, so there's
Pat
no movie.
Pat DeStefano was in charge of putting together the group.
Oh! Bullshit! I got bus rolled by number one and number two.
I think Matt Aaron said, don't bother calling Mikey. He wouldn't come anyway.
I was working on
Sunday. Oh, actually,
Sunday.
So I got bus rolled by number three.
I was working. But
a lot of buses rolling this.
Yeah, a lot of buses rolling. I got a lot of bruises. I got to go. I better call Pace.
I really don't want to see Mike Curzo. Don't know about we're going to the show tonight.
Okay.
Whoa. Whoa, is that a... Oh, wow.
Wow, that's a rough text.
There's no
time. Wow.
That's a rough test.
There's no time.
Oh, wow. I think I hear the Greyhound behind me.
Lenny's bald spot is even blushing.
Oh! Oh!
Oh,
boy.
We'll go through the text.
Shucks, oh, my God.
We'll go through the text.
Hold on. Although I got to throw this in there. Of all people, who goes and stirs the pot? Mr. Pat DiStefano.
Oh, all the time. Oh, all the time. Matt Aaron, what did I do?
Anyway, the movie, which Mike missed out on, was okay.
The one about Caesar?
Planet of the Apes with Caesar the Ape.
Yeah. With Caesar the Ape. It was okay. But the movie...
Yeah, but I hear this ape's smart. This Caesar the Ape is smart, I hear.
Yeah, they went and saw Planet of the Apes.
I thought they called you.
I guess what movie did I guess Luis, me and you just got hit by a grenade.
Oh, I got a call. Well, I got called.
Well, no, then I went with you and Matt the next night.
And I got a call to go Sunday, so I'm not upset.
Oh, Terzo, don't feel bad. They haven't called me in months to go see a movie.
Oh, that's not true. First of all,
no, every fucking week.
Because you wanted to see stupid-ass gay movies.
Which movies?
Lincoln Lawyer, which has only been like the best thing we've seen all year.
Remember, it's not about the movie. It's about hanging out with the people you care about.
Okay, let me make a point here. Why do we have to invite everyone to the movies? Don't you know you're invited?
How are we supposed to know where you're going? What time?
Check in with
Jesus
one of
Christ.
Us.
Yeah, just
why do we got to call everybody? Check in with us.
It's the nice thing to do.
Oh.
I probably wouldn't have picked up and
you
gone.
You know what?
Is
anyone
saying.
Here else use that Google Plus?
No.
Well, you really all need to start, and we could do a huddle. So that's when we send the text messages, literally everyone on the same time.
All right, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out here, though. In all reality, Len, I actually couldn't even have gone on Sunday.
Oh, what?
Oh, so you're guilt tripping me.
Wait just a second.
You're guilt tripping me.
You did bitching and
but you
and
didn't
moaning.
Know I couldn't go. That's the important thing. No, really. Actually, I had dinner at the Vontee and Oteca on Taylor Street. So, by the way, guys, very good restaurant. But
$300 bottle of wine, Mikey?
Maybe. And
think about
how,
it. That would maybe cost you
$20.
Why would you get $300 bottle of wine?
There was three people there. It wasn't just me.
Let me ask you something. When you
so you
get
ordered
this,
three $300 bottles of wine?
No, one.
I got a serious question. When you get this bottle of wine and you swish it and you swirl it and you do the gargle, don't you think everyone in the restaurant looks at you like you're a fucking jagoff?
No, because they don't swish it, smell it, gargle it, look at it.
Oh, that's not what I heard. That is not what I heard.
Yeah, actually, there is a swish. The swish is an important way to tell if a wine's still good. The way
I hear you talk about,
I
hear
you
talk
sugar content.
I hear you talk about
legs
how,
or not.
Yeah, I hear if he. Yeah, I hear him use comments like
because
that.
Because here's the reality, man.
Oaky.
See, let's look at the reality behind this. The truth
yeah, what's
is,
oaky?
If you're gonna spend $300 on a bottle of wine, you better know enough about wine to be able to tell if it's a good bottle of wine before you accept it and spend $300.
Why would you spend that kind
if
of money on
if you're spending $300 on a bottle of wine, you damn sure better be getting laid.
He was with two dudes.
You're gay.
He just enjoyed a nice bottle of wine.
Next level goes Mike. Damn.
He enjoyed a nice bottle of wine.
You know what?
You know, when did Chuck get into this?
Mikey's speechless.
Well, I'm waiting for everybody to shut up.
Down goes Frazier.
Mikey, thoughts on you being gay, please?
Not really a whole lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just got hit at about 85. I'm not really sure what happened. But
that knocked you the fuck out.
We're coming right back out. See, they're just jealous that I can go out and have a good time and I know these things. You got to understand our group of friends, people. Anytime that you're good
is
at something.
Is anyone filming the way Matt is drinking soda?
I wish they did.
Such a time this
let evening. Me. I will put it to you this way. Matt drinks soda like a chipmunk eats a nut.
Yeah. Yeah. That is spot on. That's spot on.
It's spot on.
They got
he even twitches a little bit like a chipmunk.
Oh,
when
my
he does
God.
It.
We got that women was that listen to this show. That's not true.
You know, I'd like to know what Matt looks like when he does some other things with women.
Why are you all packed up? Where are you going? You're not leaving.
Well,
you're hanging out.
Matt's too lazy to do those things. He just pretty much lays there and goes, I can, but my back. Oh, just bounce on me, sweetheart, my back.
Yeah, it goes something along. Honey, hold on. The game's on. Hold on.
The game's on.
The game's on.
You're right.
No, no, it's not the game. It's like, ooh, Hook's on my back. I'm going to watch Hook.
Sorry, that was like, I just walked by your DVD collection
and
I saw Hook.
And
this is why I'm never allowed back here.
No, you're always allowed back. I'm used to Lemon being over.
Honey, can we have sex tonight? Ah, Caddyshack's on
tonight.
Get away with it, though, because he's Jack Lemmon. He can get away with it. Should we sing one more song to close the show?
I think we should.
No, because I guess it was pretty bad.
No, we got to close the show with the song.
Can we do, what are you planning on doing? Let's talk about it.
All right. Well, this is going to be for overtime. So only the people that download this are going to have to hear it.
And by the way, make it something we know, because we don't have a script or lyrics in front of us like you do on your computer.
Golden Girls?
Yeah. Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a friend. Traveled down the road and back again.
I don't know that one.
Huey Lewis, Happy to Be Stuck with You.
No, I don't know that one.
Yes, it's true. Oh, how about this one, Mikey?
Rolling down the Imperial Highway. The big man sitting at my side. That ain't a wind blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride.
We love it. Or I Touch Myself, we could sing that.
Oh, that'd be disastrous.
Actually, let's do I Touch Myself.
Yeah, that's why I Touch Myself here.
Okay.
I might just snag both these from you.
Why would this be disastrous? I love myself.
Oh, you need to hear it? Oh, I can't sit down.
I forget myself. I want you to remind me. I won't want anybody else. When I think about you, I must be a mother. I think you love me. I think you love
Okay, we're done. Good night. Chuck wants your cock.